Evening, UTAS fans. We're back with another edition. My name is Matt Caspall, and I guess an interesting pod for us tonight in terms of certainly reviewing Tuesday night's game, or the 9 minutes that we saw, and then looking ahead to the Cheltenham game coming up at the weekend. Of course, I'm joined by the one and the only Tom Walker. Tom Walker, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I've just about dried out as well, which is good. And yeah, a strange one. I don't do that many preview shows, actually. It's a bit of a novelty for me, this. It's a okay. Sort of once in a blue moon occasion, yeah.
It's a special thing for everyone tuning in on a Friday, I'm sure, to hear your voice, Tomo. Talk us through Tuesday night. This is not our first abandoned game of the season, so you've got a bit of a well-drilled playbook now. Did you do karaoke after? Was it the best game of the season for you?
We could have done karaoke after. We were very fortunately given a lift back. I was with Julian, and we were very scared that we'd have to walk back to the train station in the pissing rain, as we'd walked to the ground in the pissing rain. But one of our chums very very thankfully gave us a lift back. And yeah, there were some tunes going on which could have been karaoke, but we refrained from it because I would like to say we'd learned our lesson, but let's be honest, it's because we hadn't had a skinful before the game. I like Stevenage. Yeah, what a weird thing. I'd never been in a situation like Stevenage before. I don't think many people had. And it's the first time I've ever been to a game where the game started and then not finished, which each thing taken individually is like, oh, well, that's interesting. But for both of them to happen in like 6 weeks is, yeah, feels like a bit of a curse. And to be honest with you, we spent the entirety of the way back on Tuesday night, obviously firstly drying out, but also literally just doing admin. When can it be replayed? Because we're running out of Tuesdays, but it's been rescheduled, so we're good to go.
That's it. Well, I saw feverish WhatsApps from you guys saying they're not going to be able to reschedule it. We're going to start playing on Thursday nights, basically.
Oh, Thursday nights would be a dream, wouldn't they?
Come Thursday, on. What, Thursday away at Blackpool?
No, I'm sort of talking more games at the Abbey, you know, work through lunch, get to the pub nice and early.
Yeah, nice early train, the 2:12 train or something out of King's Cross. That's God help us. Well, we'll see. Hopefully no more games called off. I mean, I this will shock you as well. I made myself look like a bit of a dick because the ground staff, like, it looked like Ian Darlow was basically like waist deep in a hole that he had dug in the pitch, which I thought was also something I'd never seen on the football pitch. And I was adamant on group chat. I was like, there's no way the players will come out. And literally, as I had sent the message, you just see the players coming out on the pitch. I mean, how did it feel to you, I guess, in the NRE? You've got your ground staff like digging a massive hole in the ground and the players are coming out and it's absolutely pissing it down. I think pretty quickly you were sending messages saying you thought there's just no way, right?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, like, you feel like you're like breaking news. Like, this won't finish. You feel like the only person that's noticed it. But yeah, I mean, the weirdest thing about it was, like, I didn't see a drop of rain until about 6 o'clock. Obviously, we were coming in from elsewhere. But, you know, even people in Cambridge, they were like, it didn't start until that late. And it sounds like we had like all the rain you'd expect for the entirety of February in about an hour. And yeah, like, it got into the ground and like didn't see much of the warm up as per usual, I guess. And then, yeah, you're faced with an image of Ian Darlow digging a trench, which is a sight I wasn't expecting, to be honest, when I hopped on the train to go to the ground. And yeah, like, literally the second it kicked off, you're like, there's no way. There's literally no way. There was it was actually the move that actually stopped the game. Was the ball got played up the left-hand touchline. And to be fair to Lyle Taylor, he judged it perfectly that it was just going to stop. And I was like, oh, right, we've got the better of this. We've got the better of the physical, like, of the conditions. And then the ref was just like, yeah, nah, we can't play on. Understandably so. But yeah, really, really weird. Really, really weird.
I mean, Bolton were very, very set on playing it out from the back, which seemed quite unusual to me because the ball looked like it was literally almost not moving down that south end of the pitch. So I guess from that 9 minutes, we probably had, I guess, what you would call the best opportunity when George Thomas picked the ball up. I'm actually not sure he was fouled, but maybe the right thing to,
you know what, as well, that is really the one silver lining, is that we just simply weren't a goal up. Because imagine you got a goal up and you're like, oh come on, like, and you know in yourself that the game has to be stopped, but you have that little bit of bias, that little bit of amber tint that just says surely there's a way of playing it. Yeah, but no, alas, it was not the case.
No, sadly not, I guess. Or I guess a relief that we weren't 1-0 up, because you might have felt confident. One Bolton fan flew in from Shanghai, we were told, to come directly to the game from China, apparently. So how does that... Yeah, maybe you don't need to say anything, to be honest. Maybe that's enough.
I have a few questions. Firstly, why flying from Shanghai?
Yeah.
Why have you picked this game? And just, well, actually just simply why, to be honest. I felt really bad for the Bolton fans that came from Bolton. Just generally, that's nothing to do with the weather. They were digging there. No, they've taken it badly, haven't they? I think collectively.
They've not reacted well. Yeah, head loss, I think, is probably the phrase that I would use. Well, hopefully, at Cambridge United, hopefully we can sort that one Bolton fan out. I feel like if he makes it to the return game, he deserves.
Oh, mate, imagine he comes back as well.
Well, he's got to come back. He has to now, obviously. Well, he's got his ticket.
His ticket?
Yeah.
That's the least of his concerns.
He's got his match ticket, so he might as well.
How far is it? Like 8,000 miles? I don't think he's like worried about the ticket for the game. I think he's more be thinking about his intercontinental travel he's have to do again to get to a game, which, let's face it, for Bolton, is probably quite underwhelming. And he's have to do it twice in a fortnight because it pissed it down with rain for an hour. That's great stuff, though. Yeah. I love to see that.
Well, man deserves a free beer if he makes it, I would say, if anyone at the club is listening. Should get him on the pitch and get him to do a lap of honour or something, to be honest.
I imagine if he did it, it's called off again.
Man. Called off again, yeah. Bit soggy, actually, sorry. All right, I mean, on to maybe, you know, we've done some good vamping there. Jules was like, you'll be able to vamp about Bolton for 10 minutes, and here we are. But on to football matters, I guess. One change to the side. I know the game didn't happen, but I suppose it's interesting anyway. Jack Lancaster dropped after... I mean, obviously, you guys spoke about it on the pod after the Shrewsbury game, but a pretty impressive performance. Was that a surprise to you? I was surprised.
You know what? I will say, one of the things that did make me laugh, that really sort of raised my mood as we were on our way back at 8:30 on Tuesday night, was just like seeing like on the message board and stuff, like actual genuine analysis of the game. I saw someone say that Danny Andrew is man of the match for like the 9 minutes.
Yeah,
fair enough. Like, yeah, like fine. Like, I take the point, but yeah, I mean the lineup. I guess the only thing that we can really take from it is just like what essentially is Harris's approach going to be to these sorts of games. And I think we kind of speculated after the Shrewsbury game on the pod that probably a lot of our thinking about Bolton was going to be, you know, how do we sort of stop them? How do we limit what they can do with it? And I think that's understandable. And I think that was probably the reason that Lancaster was dropped. Like, it's one of those that just feels really harsh, like you say, because he was good. He was really good at Shrewsbury. And, you know, we've sort of waxed lyrical about his performance and particularly the assist for the goal there. And you kind of get the impression that he's a sort of player that when he gets a performance like that and has a moment like that, you just want to work him, just keep working him, rather than having sort of stops and starts. I mean, look, it would have happened anyway regardless, right, because of what the outcome was in the end. But yeah, I mean, I guess it was the only kind of, you know, notable bit of team news, I think, from the evening. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back in on Saturday as we move towards Cheltenham, which I guess is an eminently more winnable game on paper, where football obviously is famously not played. But yeah, I guess kind of needs must in a game like Bolton, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, I suppose. And then if we're looking at that, I suppose team setup is almost impossible to tell, to be honest, given it was only 9 minutes. But it seemed like Elias Kachunga was actually out wide on the left. It's certainly what it looked like to me anyway. Warm and dry in my house watching on TV, which was nice, I'm not going to lie. Do you have a sense for what that game plan you spoke about there for Neil Harris actually is in those bigger games? Or do you think 9 minutes where Danny Andrews man of the match in the pissing rain is not enough to tell?
Yeah, I think it's probably more of the latter, isn't it? Do you want me to try and make up an answer anyway?
Yeah, go on.
I think game plan would have been give it to Lyle Taylor and let him score, to be honest. No, I think, you know what, that was maybe the one thing that we were a little confused about with the lineup, was like, how is it going to look out wide? So I kind of feel like you probably want Kachunga playing centrally because it's where he's done so well in that kind of 9.5 role. Obviously, it's not maybe how it looked in the immediate or the sort of bit of football that we actually did get to see. We were kind of speculating that maybe it might end up with Thomas out wide on the right or something. Obviously, this isn't what happened. So, we were wrong, factually. But yeah, there's not loads to take from it, to be honest, because obviously the game was, well, it was what it was, and we didn't really see what we wanted to see. But yeah, interesting to think of, like, because there is obviously a run of games coming up where we're playing against some of the big boys, if you like, Pompey, Bolton, twice, Bosch. You can probably include Stevenage in that a little bit because they're positioned in the table, although severely gritted teeth, and it's an indicator of how we're going to approach these games. So that's probably the interesting thing, rather than how it actually looked, I think, for the 9 minutes of what happened or didn't happen.
Well, mate, very good. We've got at least 15 minutes out of that Bolton game now.
That's good, isn't it? That's good stuff.
That's amazing. I mean, it's all those nil-nils you've had to analyse the last few weeks. You've honed your skills at basically
waffling
about uneventful games. I would actually argue that Bolton game had more incident than Exeter away, if I'm honest. So
it probably did, you know.
I know, it's probably true,
from
isn't
our
it?
Perspective, because we actually threatened them on a couple of occasions.
Yeah. Say no more.
Wow, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
your head caught me live.
Yeah. That's it. All right. On to Cheltenham then, this Saturday, I guess. Let's not spend too much time on this game either, but Cheltenham away, the reverse fixture, was a bit grisly. I think that was their 12th game in the season and they hadn't scored yet, if I remember rightly. Amazingly, in League One this season, they're actually higher than us in the XG table for the whole season, which is quite something considering they didn't score in the first 11 games. Can't be as bad as Cheltenham away, can it, Tom?
There's a wry smile developing on my face while you were saying that. I think it is worth just taking a minute, and you know, not because we have time to fill, but definitely not because of that, but more because that game, like, it is worth just having a moment for that afternoon in Cheltenham. I mean, you think back to it, they were bottom of the league. They'd literally not won a single game. They'd scored one league goal all season. And we still went there and just absolutely stank the place out. It would be genuinely quite impressive, I think, if we managed to outdo that as a like a bad afternoon of football. Genuinely quite impressive if this set of players could replicate such a shit showing. So no, I don't think it's going to be that bad. That is small mercies because it leaves quite a lot of room for improvement, I think. And I just hope that we're not sat here on the review show going, well, at least it wasn't as bad as the away game, having lost like 1-0 again, but threatened a bit more. I'm sure it won't be. But yeah, I mean, that was bad. And, you know, it's a bit of a weird one because obviously the manager's changed in the meantime. So I'm not sure how much that will be used as a sort of, as kind of a motivation tool. You know, I feel like if it was still Bonner, you'd be like, well, look what happened in the away game. Like, you've kind of got to get one back on these guys. Whereas Harris obviously comes into it a little bit more fresh. So I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case. But yeah, for sure. Like, we've got to show more. Because like you say, like Cheltenham are a team that since Clark has come in, have been okay. Like, you know, they've not necessarily like torn up trees. They've not been like, you know, incredible, but like they've done probably similar to what we've done really since Neil Harris came in, just been pretty steady, picked up points fairly consistently, been able to hurt teams. Like, I think they went to Derby and got a point and scored a couple of goals. And they're not the pushovers that the league table suggests, but it is certainly a game that we should be looking to win.
Yeah, I think all of that's fair, to be honest. And it's, I guess when you look at teams like Cheltenham, with the greatest respect, it's not the sort of team we want to be 2 losses, no points from in any given season. I would say like any of that bottom 6, 7, 8 teams is not, it's not what, how you want to set up at all, really. So yeah, I would agree with that. Is it a big game? It's quite an open question. It's a broad question. Obviously, we won at Shrewsbury last Saturday. Has that taken pressure off, do you think, slightly? the midweek results were not favourable, you would say, which obviously is inevitably going to happen every now and then, that it all goes against you. I think Saturday, kind of everything slid for us last Saturday. So big game for you, or moderately sized, or how are you grading it?
I think it's a really big game, to be honest. And a lot of what I'm going to say is going to seem quite premature, but because obviously there is still a long way to go in the season. And like you say, there's a lot of games coming thick and fast, as they tend to at this stage. But if we can win on Saturday, if we can beat Cheltenham, that puts us 15 points ahead of them with it's not like miles better, but a better goal difference. So let's call it 19 points for the sake of the argument. We'd then be at least 10 points ahead of Fleetwood with two games in hand. And we'd then potentially be between 18 and 21 points ahead of Carlisle. 15 and 18 points ahead of Carlisle. So, you know, that to me would feel like at this stage of the season, that's three gone, or three that wouldn't catch us. And again, yeah, there is a long way to go. But then we're talking like these teams are going to have to make up a point per game on us. And that seems like quite a tall order, given that we would still ourselves have 17 games to play. So that for me is why it's a big game. That's point number one. The obvious one is where Cheltenham are in the league. You know, obviously don't disrespect them, but they're in the bottom four. It's at home. You'd fancy yourself to win that game. So that's the obvious one. But the other thing is probably the one that I think Neil Harris mentioned in his presser, which is just the run of games that are coming up. We go to Pompey on Tuesday. We play Bolton twice. We've got Stevenage. We've got the Derby. We've got a trickier trip to Carlisle. And you're thinking like, where do your points come from through that run? And you don't want to be putting pressure on the other games. So yeah, Shrewsbury probably takes a bit of pressure off this one. But if you don't win it, it puts a lot of pressure onto other games that you don't want pressure on instead. So I think there's a lot of facets to this that make it quite a big game. And look, if we can come out of it with a win, it just does so much for our outlook on the season, because without want to try to boil it down to like something so simplistic so early, it does kind of feel like if you do win this, you're kind of looking to be better than one team. And I feel like we would be pretty confident of being capable of doing that. We're taking 15 points from the nine games that Harris came in. I think if you replicate that across the next nine games, you're probably about safe, and there's still plenty of games to play. So a big game for a lot of reasons. Obviously, you know, I think we called Cheltenham a must-win last year as well at this stage. We lost it and still stayed up, right? So these things are, you know, prone to changing quite quickly. But I think symbolically, it'd be a pretty big afternoon to get 3 points.
Yeah, I think I would agree with all of that. You look at those next seven games that you listed off, which is obviously Cheltenham at home, Portsmouth away, Carlisle away, Bolton at home, Peterborough away, Stevenage away, Bolton away. I got that wrong. Peterborough at home. That's, I would say then, when you look at that, you would say Cheltenham is our easiest game in that run. And as you say, if you win that game, I think you earn the right to want us to lose a couple of these, or two, three, even of the bigger games, and even go to Carlisle and get yourself a point and just keep them down there, if you know what I mean. So yeah, absolutely. All right, well, to preview the Cheltenham game coming up this Saturday, Tom spoke with the Cheltenham podcast.
Right then, Hughes fans, joined by Owen from the Robins Report podcast, covering everything relating to Cheltenham to look ahead to the game on Saturday. Owen, Cheltenham Town at the moment, 23rd in the league, 8 points adrift, albeit a couple of games in hand. That obviously looks bad, but I get the feeling probably from your end that doesn't quite tell the whole story and how the season's gone. How are you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad. It's interesting. Daryl Clark, when he came in, we were 8 points adrift. We were 7 points adrift. Now we're 8 points adrift, but it's a completely different story. Like, I feel a lot more confident that we've got a chance of at least going for it. Obviously, as you mentioned, games in hand. And we're not on the greatest of form at the minute, but we've just come off, I mean, Saturday aside, losing to Wickham, which was just a shocker from all accounts, really wasn't like us. But we just come off the back of three games against Pompey, Derby and Bolton. Three teams which you don't really go into any of those games with expectation in. And we actually come out of all those games, come up with 3 points from the three. And actually, we feel like we probably could have got maybe 7 points at least out of those in the end. Just because the way the games went, we've received two apologies from referees of the games we've lost. And it's just a tale of how it goes. We performed well. Club's in a much better place than what it was at the start of the season. And yeah, we're just trying to tick along and get a bit of form. But unfortunately, everyone around us seems to be picking up when we're not. And obviously, games being called off aren't ideal. I know you felt that against Bolton the other day too.
Yeah, for sure. We know all about that of late, to be honest. We had a couple of games, abandoned, postponed, something in between, basically. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like you say, it seems to have been a bit of a turnaround, and I feel like probably the table doesn't quite tell the whole story on where Cheltenham are at. I appreciate that the form has been a little bit iffy, maybe of late in the most recent games, but clearly since a 1-0 win against ourselves sparked something of a revival, there's been a bit of an uplift. I mean, what'd you put that down to? What's changed?
I think just it needed a bit of freshen up, to be honest. Last season we did really well. We weren't prolific throughout the whole of the season. At times it was like we might get dragged into a battle, but at no point did we ever look really like we were going to drop into the bottom four. And then summer was just a big upheaval. We lost our director of football, Mickey Moore, to Shrewsbury, who I'm sure their fans absolutely adore not at the moment. And Wade Elliott was just kind of thrown under a bus. The assistant manager went up to head of recruitment, and Wade was just doing it all by himself pretty much in the summer and dealing with recruitment. It just got a bit stagnant after the pass over from Duff. And it happens, unfortunately. And it was time, the time was right. Wade did the job, but we needed a freshen up. We needed somebody with a bit of experience. We've never done 4 seasons in League One. So no matter what, if we stay up this season, it'll be history made in the club. So we needed somebody to kind of just liven the place up a bit. And Darryl Clark, sure, certainly a motivator, and he's definitely just changed a little things really. Obviously a few changes in personnel, brought in a few players who he's very familiar with and it's been successful for him in previous clubs. And just simplified it a bit. We're a lot more high intensity, we're a lot more in the face of the opposition. And a lot more direct. We're not just going into games relying on getting nil nil as far as we can and hopefully nicking a result. We're looking to every game we go into, no matter where the team are in the position in the league, we're going in to win that game from the first whistle.
Yeah, for sure, and obviously there's still plenty of the season to pick up enough points to bridge that gap. I mean, I guess from our side, we managed to do that in a spell of sort of 7 or 8 games at the end of last season. So, hopefully there's time yet, I guess. But moving on to Saturday, a bit more specifically, I mean, I'm curious to know from your perspective, because it's something that Neil Harris mentioned in his press conference, that he felt that from Cheltenham's perspective, this would probably be seen as a bit of a must-win game, which I guess they all are when you're kind of down the bottom scrapping around. But I mean, from the perspective of your season, how big does this game feel? It's away against a team that you'd probably fancy getting something off in us, and obviously given the points gap and stuff like that, Reading picking up a bit of form, could start slipping away if points don't start coming in.
Absolutely.
So how do you see that?
There's some Mark Halliwell, he's a BBC summariser. He comes on our pod and he says he doesn't like the term must win. He says must not lose. But I feel, especially after Saturday against Wickham, like we were all really deflated. It was a game at home, weren't expecting to go 3-0 down, ended 3-1. And we've got to get that momentum. And Tuesday was a bit of kicking the teeth because that being postponed out of kind of nowhere, we wanted to start kicking on again. We got a really nice run of game. Well, you would assume it's a nice run of games. We're playing a lot of teams in and around that kind of lower mid-table, and teams which we would be looking to beat. Obviously, take nothing away from it. We don't go into games expecting to win, but that'll be the mentality. I do think it's a must-win now. We've got to be picking up games. We've got Blackpool on Tuesday, so if we get ourselves ticking along before that Blackpool game, and the run of games we've got, it's huge. We've got to have first and foremost a really good performance, but unfortunately, we've had really good performances and been coming out of on the wrong side of results. We just haven't been managing the games out. So I think it'll be really interesting. It's going to be I think it'll be quite a cagey encounter on Saturday. I think both teams, obviously, like you say, you've come into quite a nice bit of form at the minute, but we've hopefully got have the bit between our teeth and kind of go all out on the offensive for some points and getting what we've probably deserved over the past month at least.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you mentioned a moment ago about the intensity that Clark's kind of drilled into the team, but how has it been looking? How would you expect Cheltenham to shape up on Saturday?
We've stuck with a 3-5-2. That's been since Duff's been here, and kind of Darryl Clarke hasn't shifted too much around from it. He's a lot more pragmatic. He's not afraid to change it early on. If we need to go to a four, we will. Sometimes likes to go to a three up top. But he kind of likes the fact he bringing Matty Taylor in, likes Matty Taylor playing in the two with George Lloyd. George Lloyd is someone I think Cambridge fans probably need to watch out for because he's small in stature, but he'll probably win most of the headers up top. He's ex-gymnast and he gives a lot of League One defenders a lot of problems. I don't think they expect it from the sheer size of him. So yeah, expect us to go 3-5-2, but wouldn't be surprised to see us make any changes. We've just got a lad on deadline day from Bath City. He's a winger and a lot of championship clubs apparently were after him. And he's kind of maybe our kind of player off the bench as well. He'll allow us to possibly move into a three up front and play with wingers. So it could be a multitude of different formations. We've got different faces, which means we can change it around quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you kind of preempted my next question a little bit with kind of players to watch. I will make the caveat that I'm delighted that you're not about to say Alfie May because he was a real thorn in our side for you guys over the past few seasons. But I mean, yeah, you mentioned about George Lloyd, but in terms of players to watch, who else should Neil Harris and his staff be keeping an eye on?
Well, Liam Sercombe is currently our top goal scorer. He's really been Mr. Reliable at the minute. Probably too much reliance on him recently, but I think with more reinforcements means his job isn't so much the weight of the world is on his shoulders. But he's become a bit of a fox in the box, Liam Sercombe. He's going to be one of those who'll push in and try get in. We tend to play quite wide. Sean Long likes to run down the right, so Cirks and Longy down that right hand side and crossing into the box might be something to watch out for. Tom Pett has been a revelation since he's come in. He won't be the most outstanding player on the pitch just to watch, but he's one of those players who dictates the game and he'll give a 7 out of 10. So yeah, definitely, I think it'll be one in that middle of the park up front, and how good we are at the wing backs really.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, you've obviously talked about the magnitude of the game for Cheltenham. I mean, I guess the big question is how do you see it going?
I mean, first and foremost, I want it to be on because the weather forecast isn't looking great, is it? I don't know what it's like up where you are at the minute.
It should be all right. Touch wood, it should be fine. We've got a couple of days of dryness, hopefully.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, all going well, it'll be on. I can't actually remember what I predicted last night, right? But I think I went with a draw just because I think it will be such a cagey affair. I think nobody's going to be wanting to give anything away too much. And there'll be a few near misses. Whilst I went a 0-0 prediction on our pod, which I'm going to stick with. And, you know, 0-0s aren't always the most entertaining games, of course. But I still think it'll be a good game to watch. And it'll be probably one of those which it's going to be on the fine chance if something happens. But I think it'll be one of them where, you know what, either team could definitely win it. You with your momentum, us we wanted to get back to winning ways, getting some points on the board. I think it'll be quite an exciting game, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's see how it goes. But in the meantime, Owen, thanks very much for joining us and for giving us your time.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much to Owen from Robin's Review for that. Let's wrap things up, Tom, with, I guess, the sort of usual set menu of questions. Expected lineup. You mentioned earlier you think Lancaster might return.
Yeah, I think it might be. Do we call it unchanged? Because I think it'll be the same as it was at Shrewsbury. Is that unchanged?
Do you know what? I look in flash scores and the game doesn't exist. Cambridge Bolton never happened on Tuesday, according to flash scores. So
fire under Chester away.
Chester away was quite something, wasn't it? God, you've gone back into the archives for that one.
Yeah, I really have. That's fucking hell, that's like 15 years ago.
That's just proof. Honestly, that game is just proof that if we score like an insanely brilliant overhead kick, that like someone from the FA just sat there watching that going like, No, not this Cambridge team. Not in my lifetime.
That must not happen.
That simply cannot happen. Okay. all right. Well, you're saying unchanged. That's nice and clean and clear. I guess one other point from the press conference, albeit it was a very short footnote at the end with Neil Harris, was no imminent return for Ghassan Ahadmeh, but apparently some news brewing after Saturday. So
still in it.
Yeah, I think that'll be the news, right? Yeah, he's injured for another 6 weeks. Yeah, okay, unchanged. That's fairly unequivocal.
What about you? Would you do anything mental?
Nah. I think you stick with it, right? I was slightly surprised to see any change from Saturday to Tuesday, but I think you're right that was a bit of a setup thing, a sort of obvious active game plan from us. So no, I wouldn't expect I wouldn't expect any change at all, to be honest. So fairly straightforward. Hey, all right, Tom, prediction. What's going to happen?
I think Lyle Taylor's going to score, and I think we're going to win. I'm confident at the moment. I don't know why. And it scares me because I feel much more comfortable being pessimistic, to be honest, as the last 201 episodes have probably proven. I fancy us on Saturday, but we made the Abbey a little bit of a fortress and made it a bit of a patch. I'd like to think we can keep that up. And like I say, it'd be a really big win. So I'd like to think we're really all in on it, like we should be for every game, really, but this one particularly.
Yeah, I think with the context of those games that are coming up, and as you say, the Abbey is becoming a fortress. So if we win on Saturday, we will have won half of our 16 home games so far this year, which feels like something maybe even since promotion season we've probably not achieved, I will say, without doing any research at all. Right, Tomo, I will see you on Saturday. I'm actually coming to this one, I think.
Yes.
Should be nice and dry. Nice and dry.
Is that good? Is that worrying?
Well, I miss Shrewsbury, and we all miss Shrewsbury, and we're all sat there messing each other like, are we the problem? Like, is that why this is happening? Because we're not there. So obviously, if we get thumped, then maybe I can rule myself out of Pompey, which we all know absolutely will not happen. So, that's it for us. Do check out a lot of the podcast content that's been coming out the last few weeks. We obviously had our first monthly mailbag episode a couple of weeks ago, which was brilliant, I will say. Neil Harris interview is really interesting, insightful, I guess, dig into the relatively new gaffer. Check it out wherever you get your pods, and we'll catch you soon.